Well, we're going to go ahead and get started with the call here this morning. My name is Carol Watson, and I'm a registered nurse and a naturopathic doctor. And I'm also a national marketing director with NSA and Juice Plus, and very honored to be a part of this amazing culture and community of health partners who are inspiring healthy living around the world. I've been with Juice Plus now for 12 years, and I literally pinch myself almost every day with such gratitude how Juice Plus, from a health standpoint, a personal growth standpoint, and a financial standpoint, have just truly transformed my life. About 12 years ago, my doctor told me about Juice Plus. I had been juicing pounds and pounds of produce. I knew I wasn't getting what I needed in my diet. And when he told me I could get all of that and more in just 6 capsules, I really was not skeptical at all. I was like, oh my gosh, it's going to save me so much money. The live source of enzymes were in Juice Plus, so it was the next best thing to fruits and vegetables. Made sense to me. I added it to my diet. My husband and I started taking it right away. And now they call me the Energizer Bunny because I just always have tons of energy and very, very, very seldom get sick. And as a result of deciding to share Juice Plus with others because it made so much sense to me and I knew a lot of people I loved and cared about that were not eating all of the necessary produce that we need for peak health and vitality, as a result of sharing, I attracted a lot of amazing health partners to my team, and together we reached the top position in this company in 3.5 years. And within 6 years, both my husband and I were both retired from our jobs, making a more than decent income, now helping and inspiring others to do the same if they wish. So thank you for joining us this morning for the Cortese team call. And my topic this morning, interestingly enough, is called Pushing Versus Leading. It's all about helping our team get what it is that they want without that feeling of being what I call a Hitler, where you're just literally pushing and forcing and driving. And like Jeff Roberti said, you can't push a rope uphill, right? One of the common things that I hear is, I don't want to push my team, because we attract some really nice people to our business that don't want to push others. And if you've ever felt this way, you're not alone. Most of us have at some point in time in one way or another when sharing Juice Plus or in helping our team members as well. But today what we're going to be focusing on more are these feelings regarding our team. You see, my experience is that this typically comes up when I'm asking or doing follow-up with one of my distributors as far as how they're progressing with someone, perhaps, let's just say they just recently sponsored Sue. So I'm going to call Mary, and I'm going to say, tell me, Mary, how's it going with Sue? Is she on track with her 10-1-10? How about those 3 wellness presentations? Have you got those scheduled? How have your connection calls been going with her? And on the other end, you perhaps have a new representative who's feeling overwhelmed, frustrated, guilty, and maybe even like you're a Hitler for even asking, if you don't know what it is that they want to accomplish with their business. So if you've ever said this or found yourself feeling that way, then this call is for you. But let me preface this by saying I'm really glad that you don't want to push people, because I don't want to push people either. It's not a good feeling, is it? Pushy people are perceived as being self-absorbed, obnoxious, many times loud, self-centered, and like they have their own agenda. But the challenge is, while we're working at avoiding pushing people, what many times happens, and I've seen this in my own life and with my own team, is that we end up not leading them either. Because, you see, in our fears of being too pushy, we just leave our representatives to flail about without direction, guidance, or mentoring. I think most of you on the call can probably empathize with this feeling. In fearing like you're being pushy, what ends up happening at the end of a coaching call, for example, you're doing a coaching session with one of your team members, and you end the call with no commitment, no direction, no homework that I call success assignments, by the way, because I don't like the word homework, no follow-up appointment scheduled with your representative, and you end up the call saying something like, well, you know, Sally, when you're ready to move forward, just let me know, honey. You know, it's going to be okay. Most of us have probably done that, not all, but I believe that I did a lot of that simply because I didn't want to be perceived or feel like I was being pushy. But it really was my own fault because I didn't really know what it was that that team member wanted to help them get whatever it is. And we're going to talk about the kind of a little bit of the psychology and then the how-tos also. Because there's a big difference between being pushy and leading. Pushing is when you attempt to get someone to do something for your benefit. And generally, that ends up not really feeling too good. On the other hand, leading is when you attempt to help someone to do something that they have said they want, and it's for their benefit. It's such a win-win because we can feel good about what we're doing and helping support other people get whatever it is that they want, but first we have to know what they want. Nikki Kiyohoho of the Direct Selling Women's Alliance spoke at our national conference back in October 2009, and she interjected her thoughts and about our concerns and fears of being pushy. And for those of you who are present, you recall that about half of those in attendance admitted that they had this fear of being pushy. What she shared is what ends up happening, though, is that in our choice to not be pushy, we end up making the decision for others. And in doing so, doing this, we're literally choosing for them. And we are being selfish because we're choosing for them. So the irony is that the very thing that we want to avoid, we become selfish and self-centered. Isn't that interesting? That was a real revelation to me. So think of your team, whether you have one or whether you have thousands on your Juice Plus team. Are you leading them or are you pushing them? Are you deciding for them by prejudging how they'll respond or prejudging what they want from our business? How many representatives have prejudged new team members and not even shared our Fast Track 10-1-10 program with them, maybe because they indicated that they just wanted the quote-unquote best possible price? Or perhaps you haven't invited them to conference, assuming that they don't have the money. Are you really holding back thinking about them? Or, in my opinion, is ego getting in your way and you're making it about you and you're afraid of coming across as being pushy? The answer to the question as to whether you're pushing or leading is actually in the question itself. Where do they want to go? If you don't know the answer, then guess what you're doing? You are pushing them to do things, apparently, just so you can get them to where you want them to go. That doesn't feel so good, does it? And if this is the case, then let's see what we can do to remedy this so you don't have to feel like a Hitler, and so they have a positive experience in pursuing their goals and dreams. This is not a business of getting people onto our team and having them share Juice Plus and build a team so that you achieve your goals. If this is your mindset, then you will most likely be perceived as a Hitler. I'm telling the truth, I believe, about this because I've experienced it myself. This is a business of getting people into their own business. Yes, they're a part of your team, but we're leading them to share Juice Plus so they can build a team and create the volume that they need to achieve their goals. And in direct sales, it's such a win-win because the more we're helping them get what they want, we end up getting what we want as well. So, okay, if you're ready to lead, here's a simple outline to follow. And I'm going to encourage you to refer to it regularly so that you can say goodbye to the days of being pushy, militant, and become more of a mentor and a coach and helping lead people to their dreams. There are three things to consider, and we're going to cover all three of these points. Number one is what. Number two is when. And number three is in that case. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Here's how it works. The first one, what. Since you need to know where someone wants to go in order to lead them there, the first question is to ask, what is it that you want? And if you go to www.jpvf.info, under Part 3, Getting Started Overview, and click on Your Why, it's a hyperlink, there's a worksheet there that was developed by Catherine Lee, a National Marketing Director, a 100 Club member, to help your new representative work through their why exercise. We want to know what it is that they want. You can ask a question like, what do you want to do with your Juice Plus business? Or what do you want this business to do for you? Or here's a really good question to ask. If you were going to go to your online banking account to see how much money was auto-deposited at the end of our business month, Julie, how much money would you need to see in that deposit in order to get you really excited? Now you've got a starting point. In order for them to get what they want, they must first decide what it is that they want. We can't assume that everyone wants what we want. Most people really miss out on this crucial step because they simply can't see how it's possible to get what they want, so they don't even allow themselves to want it. What scientists now know about how the brain works is that a person must first decide what they want before our brains can go to work figuring out how to get it. Once you lock in your desires, then the mind can step in. So what do you want? No, I mean, what do you really want? Be willing to dream big dreams and encourage your team to do the same. And as soon as you or they commit to a big dream and really go after it, your subconscious creative mind will come up with big ideas to make it happen. You will start attracting the people, the resources, and the opportunities you need into your life to make your dream come true. Big dreams not only inspire you and inspire others, but they compel others to want to play big too. So if you're setting small dreams, chances are your team is finding it difficult to dream big as well. So set goals that will stretch you, and most likely your team will follow. I experienced this firsthand about 2 years into my business when I made what I refer to as my irreversible decision that forever changed the course of my business and, quite honestly, my life. And that decision was, while millions and millions of people sit and wish for things to change in their lives, their relationships, and or their finances, I am absolutely without question going to do today what most people won't, so I can experience and be and have tomorrow what most people only sit and dream about. I'm telling you all, as soon as I made that decision, everything literally started falling into place. Doors that were previously closed opened. When I had previously felt stuck and frustrated because, quote-unquote, my team wasn't growing, God brought just the right partners to join me who had like-minded goals and dreams. My confidence soared because I absolutely knew what it was that I wanted, and there was no turning back. I was going to be a national marketing director by fall of 2004. And thanks to God and an amazing team, we made it. But I guarantee you that I would not have made it to national marketing director in 3.5 years if I had the mindset of, well, I'll just kind of see what happens. And if it's meant to be, well, God will open the doors. And if I don't make it, I guess it just wasn't meant for me. You see, I don't believe that this is really true for most people. They're afraid to dream. And they're afraid to set a goal because of the fear of not making it. And I understand that feeling because I was the same way. But now my mindset is I would rather shoot for the moon and at least I'll land in the stars than sit in a parked car waiting for God to steer it and take me for the ride of my life. Just won't happen. So you see, in asking questions, you'll get an idea of what your new representative wants from his or her business. And based on their reply, and that's huge, based on their reply, their response, their goals, their dreams, you can help guide them through the process of getting whatever it is that they want. And you can match their time and energy. And you can help them set realistic goals based on what it is that they want. So that leads us actually to the second point, which is when. So we know what they want, when do they want it, so that we know how to help them set the time frame for making that happen. Because once you know where someone wants to go, doesn't it make sense to also understand when they want to get there? Think about buying a ticket for a plane trip. Once you tell the agent where you want to go, they don't always ask next for the dates of travel. They do ask for the dates of travel. When do you want to go? You've made a decision. You're going to Washington, D.C. When do you want to get there? Well, imagine if you said, I don't know when I want to arrive. Anytime in the next few years would be nice. My guess is that that agent in such a situation would suggest that you get some clarity on that and then return so they can effectively lead you to the proper course of action. Doesn't that make sense? Similarly, a person with a dream or a desired destination or goal without a timeline or arrival date is literally impossible to effectively lead. The timeline is necessary in order to know what plan of action makes most sense for them. Their when turns their dream into a goal. This when or goal also needs to be measurable. And by measurable, I mean measurable in space and time. How much and by when? For instance, if you were to tell me that you wanted more money, I might pull out a dollar bill and give it to you. And you would probably get really upset with me and say, I meant a little more than that, like maybe $10,000, $20,000. So how am I supposed to know unless you tell me? Similarly, your coach, your friends, your spouse, your brain, God, and the universe cannot figure out what you want unless you specifically state what that is. What do you want exactly, and when do you want it? This is the process we want to help guide our team through so that when the time comes, you can help them get what it is that they want, again, without feeling pushy, because then it will be their goal and their dream, and it's all about what they want. And that leads us to the third step. In that case, these three simple words are followed by action steps to take based on a person's goal. Their want plus their when leads to in that case. And here's what you'll need to do. This is what it looks like. So, for example, say someone just finished clarifying their goal with you, and it's pretty aggressive. Let's say they want to make it to National Marketing Director in 2 years for the benefits package and on to a six-figure income within 3 years. But their first smaller goal is to accomplish the fast track to sales coordinator in 3 months so they can give themselves a pay raise from the $37 retail profit to the about $60, $59.50 Orchard Garden Vineyard retail profit and the 22% commission to begin to build their frontline running team as quickly as possible. So as a result of these goals, wouldn't it be natural then for you to say, so Sally, in that case, your next step is, so here's what I want, here's when I want it, in that case, here's what we need to do. And for this particular goal, it might be completing a resource list with at least 200 names in the next 24 hours, get your product and business story crafted, schedule those wellness presentations, get on the phone with your sponsor within the next couple of weeks, and jot down your board of directors. Who do you want to dream with, to have fun with, to build with? And we'll block out several hours in the next 3 to 4 weeks where we can do some connection calls together so you can benefit from hearing my story and my confidence as I create vision on the phone with your friends. The bottom line is that your DMO will need to include talking to at least 25 to 50 people a week. But don't worry, Sally, we're going to do this together. We're going to use the starter guide as your quick reference to get this done. You see, aggressive goals require massive action, and we need to be realistic with this if that's what it is that they want. But let's just say they want to create around $500 a month. That's what they really want. They want to be earning that, say, within 6 months or so. Then your natural next statement would be something like, okay, Laura, in that case, here's what we'll need to do. And you take them through the starter guide, get them on the Startup Sunday calls as quickly as possible, start getting on the phone with them, guiding them through the 10-1-10 in their first 30 to 60 days, and then on to the Fast Track to Sales Coordinator program in 6 months or less. So you see, you've got a match. What it is that they want and when it is they want to accomplish it with the what that next step is. In that case, then, here's what we're going to do. In these scenarios, you're leading them based on their goal, not yours. In fact, the only one pushing them is their goal. And this is a very critical point. I want you all to pay attention. If you've taken a little break from listening, this is a key point. Your job as a leader is to simply align a person's activity with their goal. That is, their success is not up to you, therefore their failure is not dependent on you either. I always say, if I used to blame myself if some of my team weren't making their goals, but you know what, if I take responsibility for their failure, that means I'm taking responsibility for their success, and other people's success is not because of me either. It's because of them and their commitment to do whatever it is that they said that they were going to do. If someone's not aligned, then encourage them to either adjust their goal or their activity, and if they don't even know what they want to accomplish, then you're going to have to go back to the first question. What is it that you want, and when do you want to accomplish it? And after that's established, then you can go into in that case. I heard Bob Burdick say that hope is not a strategy. We've got to have a plan. We can't just hope for reaching National Marketing Director, but we need to map it out. And the map you draw will depend on your when. And in other words, here's the question to ask yourself. Be really specific with your team member, with you or your team member if this is for you. What kind of income would it take to meet my goal, whether that's $500, $2,500, $5,000, or more a month? And when do I want or need that to happen? Your level of activity will be in direct relationship to your timeline. That's why Chris Drobe's worksheet on inking down our timeline is so important, and I refer to that often in my coaching. When do you want to reach a qualified business, get to sales coordinator, reach a business partner level, senior sales coordinator, qualifying national marketing director, or national marketing director. If you have your team write these goals down, then your role as a coach is to help hold them accountable to whatever it is that they want, and you won't be pushing them. Their goals will be what is driving them to realize their dreams. I hope that makes sense to you. The beauty of this strategy is that it really allows us to lead very effectively. I encourage you to get used to this process because you'll use it every time leading people, leading your new representatives to their goals. Should you ever feel concerned about being pushy again, then know it's time to say hello to your faithful friends, what, when, and in that case. And finally, many sponsors may find themselves managing rather than leading as well. When we manage, it's generally our idea. When we lead, it's their idea. I'm going to say that again. When we manage, it's generally our idea. When we lead, it's their idea. So to avoid this scenario, we need to come to some kind of agreed action and accountability so, again, we don't feel like we're pushing or being demanding. This will free you up as a coach as you'll spend much less time following up and managing productivity so you can spend more time leading, coaching, and modeling. In accordance with what your team member wants and given the time frame that they've established, you come to agreed upon action steps to help them get there. And these action steps are specific, measurable, ethical, realistic, and timely. Your team member will choose the action she or he is willing to take because it's doable to them. It is beneficial to them, helping them get what they want, and ultimately it will be their choice. It's not you telling them what to do. We would then use open-ended questions to guide them to define what they will do, when they will do it, and how both of us will know that it's completed. Here's a question you might ask at the end of a coaching session. So, Mary, how might I know that you have gotten this, whatever it is that she said that she's going to do? Or you could ask, how else do you think you can get this done? If she's feeling a little frustrated or blocked, what have you tried before, and how's that working for you? Or what can you do to improve on that skill? How about what ideas do you have to solve this challenge or roadblock in your business? Remember, the role of a good coach or a mentor does not necessarily mean that you have all the answers. A good coach helps them discover the answer from within. We're guiding and leading. We don't necessarily have all of the answers. The answers, I truly believe, are within every person. We don't need to be telling them what to do. You just ask questions to help them discover the answers to their own blocks. Once the action has been determined, then ask them this question. How would you like to be held accountable for that activity? Or how will I know you've completed this action? Remind them of what it is that they want and that you're there to support them, and then set up accountability with a time frame. And this is the key point also, make an appointment to check in with them afterwards. Like, how will I know that you've accomplished this, Cynthia? Are you going to send me a voice com? Are you going to be emailing me? Are we going to be talking live? Are you going to send an email? What's the best texting? Whatever that method of communication that works for you and that person, so that you can help them hold, basically what you're doing is you're helping hold their feet to the fire. People are much more likely to do what they said they're going to do when they know they're going to have to check in with someone. That is just the nature of the way we are, don't you think? And, you know, honestly, I know that this is the success principle that works behind Weight Watchers. There isn't anyone out there to put you down or to beat you up if you don't lose the weight when you step on that scale. But guess what? You are way more likely to stick with the program when you know that you're going to have to go in there week after week after week and step on the scale, and someone else is going to be reading that scale. It's the same principle with our team. This is what your team member wants. You are just there to guide, lead, mentor, cheerlead, be an example, and provide the support to help them to realize their dreams. But what so many sponsors and coaches do is way too tempting. It's just easy, isn't it, y'all, just to tell people what they need to do? It saves you time. You've done it. You're the expert after all, right? Just tell them what they need to do. But if you start telling rather than involving them in coming up with their own plan, Your team members will keep coming back to you for specific instructions every step of the way. And that will not be building a business. You will be creating people who are dependent upon you, and you will end up frustrated, worn out, and feeling like a Hitler because you're demanding activity of others. Using the approach and the philosophy that I've shared with you here this morning takes all the pressure off of you feeling like you have to push your team and puts the responsibility back on them, because after all, it is their business, it's their goals, and it's their dream. We're just blessed to be a part of the journey to wherever it is that they want to go, right? So as we close, I want you to think about this, since we've talked a lot about dreams here today, whether it's for you or for helping your team get to wherever it is that they want to do. Each of us can do something right now, today, to further our dreams, goals, and aspirations. The key is to do what you can with what you have where you are. And I'm going to say that again, because so many times I have found people are so afraid to dream because of failures from the past, and it's difficult to even take that first step. So the key then is to do what you can with what you have where you are. Don't wait for a better time. Act now. Don't wait for better weather, a different president, a better economy, or a better mood, or for someone else to take the lead. If you want to make something happen, now is the time to begin. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So I leave you with these questions. If not now, then when? And if not you, then who? What are you waiting for? Thank you so much. I appreciate your time and attention, and I just really hope that as a result of this call, you all are set free from feeling like Hitlers, but rather you work towards helping other people get what it is that they want, and as a result, it's such a win-win. We always end up getting what we want too, but we don't have to make it about us. You focus on others, helping them get what they want, and your dreams will come true too. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.